Thank you all. Del Mastros, it's good to have you up here. I'm sorry, you know, the California people had to leave, but it's good to have you up here. That's good. Amen. And it's a blessing for me. I can't remember the last time, if ever, you and I sat up here together. I know. How come Howard, that bench is big enough. How come Howard don't let you sit up there? You could tell him when he's not doing it right, pick up the pace. Yeah. All right, so we're going to try this, and then if it doesn't work, I'll come back to the pulpit. Some of you might recognize the sermon title, The Right Stuff. There's a movie and a book called The Right Stuff about the Mercury 7. Oh, man, about the astronauts and all of that. And I so much wanted to be an astronaut. You have no idea. I had my weekly reader in hand. I ran all the way home excited. Mom, they're going to take us to the moon. We can go to the moon. And I qualify. Because the requirements were you had to be under 5'11". I still qualify. You had to be under 180 pounds. I still qualify. Well, I'm about one potato chip away, but I still qualify. You had to be under the age of 40. Okay, well, I qualified back then. I'm like, I'm qualified. Plus, to my mind, I had already had some training. Earlier that year, I had been very, very sick with the measles. And my mom had got me Tang, because that's what the astronauts drank, and a bendable straw. Now, that's back when I was growing up, that was high living to have the bendable. So I'm like, I'm already trained. I meet all the requirements. I have the right stuff. And yet here I am on the planet still. Micah was preaching to the people of God, because they had confused about the right stuff. They were confused about it. You know how sometimes when something breaks at your house and you don't fix it right away, or you don't pay to have it get fixed because it's just easier to live with it broken? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever do that? You just, you know, yeah, you know, the doorknob cat, but if you just push it, if you just jiggle the handle, all right? You just jiggle the handle, all right? You know how that can be like that sometimes. You just do that. Or if you ever saw the old TV show Hogan's Heroes, anybody ever see that? With Sergeant Schultz, remember that? His trademark phrase, I see nothing, all right, I hear nothing, I know nothing. He did not want to know that the prisoners were up to no good. He didn't want to know about that. People of God did not want to know what God wanted them to do. They did not want to see what God was trying to show them. They didn't want to know what God was requiring of them. The system was broken, but it was easier to live with a broken system than it was to pay the price of doing it right. And so Micah reminded them about what was required. What does the Lord require of you? He says, does he ask you to bring burnt offerings? You see, if you heard that phrase, he kind of escalates the offering. He starts out with burnt offerings. Well, everybody could do that. Burn a slice of toast, offer it to God, and then God will be happy. Or not. Or you could go for a calf, a year old. Now, that's kind of moving up. That's like giving God a whole year's worth of house payments. That's pretty significant. Or 1,000 rams. Now we're talking even more serious money. Or 10,000 rivers of oil. Okay, well, nobody's got that much money. We don't even know people who have that much money. Probably isn't even that much. And Micah's point was, that's not it. That's not it. You cannot bribe God with an offering. You cannot distract God with a religious ritual. What does God require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Whoa, that can be hard. That sometimes is a little bit more than what we want to do. That's more than what we think we can do. But Micah requires that of us. He says that's the right stuff. What does God require? What does God want? What is the right stuff? To do justice. To do justice. Think about a time when you were treated unfairly. Can you remember a time you were treated unfairly? We all have stories. We all know what it's like when we were treated unfairly. How did you feel? All happy, were you? Just glowing with the Spirit when you were treated that way? Just loving God and loving everyone when you were feeling that way? Didn't you have a little bit of a resentment? Weren't you kind of like hungering for a little bit of revenge? Wouldn't it have been all right to see that person suffer in some way? In a Christian way, of course, but, you know, a little bit of suffering would be all right. I remember hearing a story. This guy, he's a referee, all right, for baseball, all right? And he's got his uniform on, and he's, you know, breaking the speed limit just a little bit. Just a little bit. And an officer pulls him over and gives him a ticket. And he tries to talk his way out of the ticket. He tries to say, look, look it up. I hardly ever get speeding tickets. Look it up. I'm a good driver. I'm late. I've got a game. Can't you see my uniform? I've got a game. I've got to get to the game. All this. And what's it going to do to my insurance rate? And the officer is having none of it. All right? He says, you don't like it, you can fight it in court. Grumble, grumble, grumble. About 6 weeks later, big championship series going on in the city. City League teams. He's umpiring behind the plate. First batter up, the police officer. They make eye contact, and they both recognize each other. And the officer smiles nicely at the referee and says, hey, how'd it go with that ticket, by the way? How'd that work out for you? And the referee smiles thinly back and says, swing at everything. Swing at everything. For those of you who don't know about baseball, the umpire calls strikes and balls. So in other words, it doesn't matter if it's 10 feet over his head. You better swing at the ball because I'm not calling any balls. Everything coming this way is going to be a strike. Everything coming this way is going to be a strike. Now, I'm not sure that the referee was a victim of injustice, but we all know what that's like. At the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned the right stuff, the Mercury 7. The Mercury 7, the men who had qualified to be the Mercury astronauts. But did you know that there was a Mercury 13? Did you know there was a Mercury 13? Women who had passed the same physical, psychological test as the Mercury 7, started out as a field of 25, narrowed down to 13. Never heard of them. Because they were women. They were women. October 4th, 1957, Russians launch Sputnik. Begins the space race. United States, only country to have sent men to the moon and returned them safely back to Earth. But the Russians were the first one to successfully orbit a payload around the Earth. The Russians were the first country to put a person in space. The Russians were the first person to put a man in orbit. The Russians were the first person to have a spacewalker. The Russians were the first country to put a woman in space. June 16th, 1963. Even though America had 13 women who 3 years earlier had qualified. It would be 20 years after that before the United States would get a woman in space. It would be 36 years after that before the United States would have a female mission commander. Discriminating people based on gender hurts not only the person discriminated against, it limits the country, it limits humanity. I haven't read the book, I haven't seen the movie, but by now you all have heard about The Hidden Figures. Katherine Goebel, Mary Jackson, Debbie Vaughn. How come their names and faces weren't in my weekly reader? If you're bored and you have some time and you like to read, read the book, the immortal life of Henrietta Lacks. I've given away so many copies of the book the last few years. Powerful, powerful testimony. There are injustices that are happening in the world. We live in a world where there are injustices, large and small, go on every day, everywhere. And it's not enough for us to just shake our heads. It's not enough for us to complain. We are called to be agents of change. We are called to be agents of justice. It's true, we cannot correct all the injustices of the world, but we can do something. We can pay attention to politicians and to companies that are being just and those that are not. We can ask God to help us treat others fairly, and we can stand up for those who are not. You've heard this quote. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Doing justice is the right stuff. Loving kindness. The Hebrew word is hesed. I think that's how you pronounce it. It doesn't matter. That's how I'm pronouncing it. And it is, as I shared in the Bible study, it's the word most closely associated with God's relationship with us. It has to do with steadfast love in action. That's how God treats us. That's how God deals with us. I'll give you an example of that. When John Gilbert was 5, he was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. It's genetic. It's progressive. And it's cruel. It would destroy every muscle in his body and eventually take his life. As he was growing up, every year John would lose something. One year, it was his ability to run. Another year, it was his ability to be able to walk straight. When all he could do was operate a mouse, he wrote a 90-page manuscript about his life. He wrote about his time in school, how he was bullied, how he was humiliated, until he was fearful to go to school because no one stood up for him. No one stood by him. No one was willing to stand with him. But there were also good years. He was the California ambassador for muscular dystrophy. He was invited to an NFL-sponsored fundraising dinner. The players let him hold their Super Bowl rings. And so massive are they, and so tiny was his. They would slide up to his wrist. He was just fascinated by all of that. And when the auction began, he was especially fascinated with one item, a basketball signed by all the players at the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings. Nobody follows the Sacramento Kings. Why was it even on the auction block? It was hardly the most treasured item on the docket. But when it came up for auction, John's hand went up. And when John's hand went up, mom's hand went up. And she took John's hand down and held it down. But there was this one man from back of the room, and he calls out a figure that was ridiculously high. It silenced and shocked the room. No one matched it. He goes up to the front of the room to collect the basketball to get his prize. But instead of returning to his seat, he went over to John, and he placed the ball in John's lap. He gave that ball to someone who would never be able to dribble it. He gave that ball to somebody who would never be able to pass it. He gave that ball to somebody who would never shoot a basket. And every heart in that room melted. Loving kindness. Loving kindness. That's what the Lord requires. That's the right stuff. To do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Now, Micah puts that in there, and he puts it in there last for a reason. Because sometimes, sad to say, but it's true, sometimes it's hard to do justice and love kindness and not get a little bit smug about it. Get a little bit self-righteous about it. Nobody in this room, of course, but you know what I'm talking about. You've seen people like that, haven't you? Haven't you? Involved in this cause, involved in that cause, and they're happy to tell you about all the great and wonderful things that they're doing and just on and on. You know, let me just share that there is a theological distinction between being a Christian and being a jerk. Sometimes some people can cross that line. Walking humbly with God energizes our commitment to do justice. It empowers our ability to love kindness. And it allows us to be aware and sensitive to God and God's presence in our life and how God is moving in our lives and in the lives around us. Walking humbly with God allows us to see what God sees, allows us to feel what God feels, so we can do what God wants us to do. Be instruments of God's grace. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. People of faith, that's the right stuff. It begins with baptism, with accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, surrendering our will to God's will so we can do the right stuff. And so, Mavis, let's begin.